All right, if you turn in your Bibles this morning, as I get through this message, you're going to find out that God is really kind of speaking, really speaking to all of us. The songs, the message before the prophetic word have all dovetailed together. The title of my message this morning is Yokes and Burdens. We talked about the chain breaker out of Corinthians and some of the things that was shared. And so I trust that this will minister to you this morning. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, that you have taken care to place us in a ring of victory. You have taken care, Lord, not only to deliver us from the darkness and convey us into the kingdom of light, but in that light, God, you've given us victory. Help us to taste that, Father, this morning. Lord, that we would realize that victory in you doesn't look like it does in the world. Lord, you have both won the battle for us and asking us to fight the battle at the same time. And Father, the banner that you've lifted is a banner of victory, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah 10, verse 27. Isaiah 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. How many know it's God's intent for you to be free?
Yes.
Six people. How many know that it's God's intent that you be free? And the thing is that God has made you free by what happened at the cross. But many of us have chosen to stay under burdens and yokes. And it's really a choice. Because we don't have to be. Sometimes, in this screwed up, psychologically crazy world, we think that somehow if we're burdened and have a yoke upon our necks, that somehow we're helping God with his kingdom. In this screwed up psychological world that we live in, there's a dearth of people that are really free. Good hearts, dumb head. Who in the world, when the King of the universe declares you free, who in the world would have the temerity to put yourself under a burden again? Look at somebody and say, he must be talking to you. We live too long under the guilt of sin. We live too long under the ghosts of the past. How can God love me when I was such a terrible person? We sing songs about breaking chains that have already been broken. Come on, I'm talking to the right people. I know I am today. Turn over to your left to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. This whole passage is talking about Israel being free from the yoke of bondage of Assyria. It had been about 30 years. The Assyrian had held them in bondage and held them in fear. And God said, I've had enough. I'm going to break the yoke and break the burden. And it's a good example for us to look at, because how many know Christ came to make the captive free? To set the captive free. That's what he came to do, Isaiah says so. But here in Isaiah 9:1, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." God's intent was to set Israel free again. Now, unfortunately, they didn't stay very free very long. Israel was pretty dumb. Come on, somebody. How many admit to being dumb? I'm captain of the dumb club. I mean, you know you're going to get burned. You know you're going to get hurt, but you do it anyway. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one? See, our mouth engages before we think. Our footsteps before we look. God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear and feet to walk in His path. But too often, we put ourselves under bondage. And we put ourselves in a place where we have to cry out for God to break chains that were previously broken. And God is looking for a church. God is looking for a people because when Israel was set free from the Assyrian, they were really free. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 13, God says, "For now I will break off his yoke from you and burst your bonds apart." Many are speaking of the end of the age that we live in and the promised coming of the Son. I'm one of those that believe we are nearing His return, Christ's return. If this is true, and I believe it is, then there is much that will have to take place very quickly and undeniably. And one of those things is He's going to have to raise up a church that really believes what God says. We're going to have to act, we're going to have to walk, we're going to have to talk like we're free. Because indeed we are. Turn to somebody and say, "You free." You're free. Not you're free, you free. I had the advantage of driving 12 hours down and 12 hours back. And I rode with a very beautiful woman, so we got a lot of conversation, but after a while, even that grows like, okay, we've talked enough. Let's listen to the radio. So we listened to Pandora because we had a fancy car. So we rented a car. It was Pandora. And some of the songs that were being sung on there was Christian contemporary. And I realized something, that a lot of the songs of today are a cry for freedom. A lot of the songs that are being written, a lot of songs that are being paid attention to and are popular is a cry for God to be God and for them to be them, for us to be us. And I wonder, and I thought about it as I listened to song after song after song. Lauren Daigle just came out with the one, "You Say." How many have heard "You Say"? "You say I'm free, you say I'm all this, but I don't feel like that." And I said, "God, why is this younger generation," because mostly younger people are writing songs. Us old folks, we just remember the old songs. But anyway, so they're writing songs. I said, "God, why are they?" It's because he said they see very few examples of it. Very few examples of us older folk walking in freedom. Actually living what we speak. Come on, somebody. God is prepared to establish His bride and an overcoming force in this land. It's time for you and I to rise up out of the ashes of burned visions and move the kingdom forward into its destiny. It's a war cry that I hear. And one that promises victory but declares battle. This is an army that walks onto the field with guaranteed victory. The fix is in. It's fixed. It's rigged. The key is the battle's going to happen. The secret is it's already won. Come on, somebody. But it is a battle that was won long ago and is now being fulfilled in our time. The end of the rule of evil will not be without drama and disappointment. And right now, the enemy is doing everything he can to dissuade, to discourage. It was talked about all through this morning's introduction. In the words that we sang, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. God, break the chain already. And God said, I broke the chain. You welded it back together, you idiot. Come on, somebody. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah the 12th chapter. Come on, somebody. Only God can call us an idiot and we not get offended. I didn't call you an idiot. Don't look at me like that. Because if I'm pointing to you, there's three fingers pointing back at me. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I contend that this is a word for the church today. Come on, somebody. What kind of a battle have we had anyway? Hadn't been that bad. Everybody's still alive. We still have our limbs. Come on, somebody. How are we going to battle what the end times is going to hold? Because the enemy is just getting started. He's too stupid to stop. He's going to show up and do everything he can do. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Come on, somebody. But we have the victory. And we can't get let our eyes look at the problem and our eyes look at the attacks and the perversion and all of the things that are happening in our society today. If we get our eyes off of heaven and onto that, we're going to lose. Church is going to win, but we'll lose. Come on, someone. Church is made up of you and me. Three heads nodded. Church is made up of you and me. It's not somebody else's job. It's your job. God says, if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how are you going to run with horses? Just as a warrior is tried at the time of battle, the church will be tried who rises to take up authority of the Lord. The enemy has been ensconced in this land that we live in a long time. He's been allowed the last 40 to 60 years to build ramparts everywhere in our nation, to build fortresses everywhere. He's strong because he's been allowed to be strong, and he's not been challenged. The moment the church challenges him, he's going to lose. Yes. The scripture that says, by the word of God's mouth, the enemy will be defeated. Yes. You are God's mouth. Yes. He's speaking through his church. He gave us authority. He gave us, come on, somebody. Yes. Last week, John spoke about being in God's army. How many heard John's message last week? Is that good stuff or what? Yes. This is good stuff. I said, John, the thing is, you can't preach better than me. Then we're going to have problems. John shared a good message about God's unlikely candidates being his army. Peter and John gave what they had. Man, at one point he said, he quoted Peter, this is for God. This is not for us. It's for God. It's for his glory. Gideon found out what God could do through him. He mentioned Gideon. And he talked about Isaiah saw the Lord and was a man undone. And he said that God's word is full of promises for you to possess. God spoke of, and then he spoke of inadequacies. He talked about my call to ministry and some of the things that he struggled with as a minister. But God capitalizes through the most unlikely people. And we say, God, how can you love us and how can you trust us with this thing? I mean, this is serious business, Lord. What's going on? What's happening? I mean, are you going to call somebody a little stronger than us? Are you going to call somebody? Is there a generation that you're going to rise up? Is you're going to change me? Are you going to send angels? Are you going to? No, God has got you and me. That's it. That's all he's got. Come on, somebody. Say he's got me. By golly, I'm going to do the best I can do. In Jesus' name. Turn over to Psalm chapter 20. Psalms 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Psalms. Psalms 20 and verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Those are the words of a victor. See, faith doesn't get rid of the facts. It overcomes the facts. The fact is that the Assyrian army has surrounded us. The fact is that we've been held in bondage. The church has been held in bondage for many years. Church in America decided to take the easy road, and we paid dearly for it. But there's an awakening happening and saying, God, we're sorry, please forgive us. God instantly does that. And he places us on a road that is going to be tough. But we have got the victory. It's rigged. Trust me. For God to do what he promised is going to amaze many in this generation. Because we have lived in an atmosphere of just enough. I am officially leaving the land of just enough. I'm leaving no forwarding address. Because I don't want to receive in correspondence from the enemy and my fears of his announcements. So I'm leaving no forwarding address. To get where I belong, I must go through the land of a little more and the land of known for my intentions. And press on until I reach the land of the overcomer. Someone said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Let me ask you some questions this morning that you do not have to answer. Have you stood in the pool of mediocrity while living waters yearn to come out of you? Have you closed the word inside because of persecution or embarrassment or harassment? Have you been so busy fulfilling the world's demands that you have forgotten who owns you? I'm just asking, not accusing. You're perfectly free to make the decisions that you've made for your life on how far you will go and what you will allow. Because you're free, and that can be a two-edged sword. You're free to be anything you want to be. But how many know? We have the tools to forge chains again. We can create bondage as well as creating freedom. God will continue with the anointing the rest of our lives as we follow him. His anointing is always there for us. His promises are yes and amen. I call your attention to Psalm chapter 89. Psalm chapter 89, God speaking of his servant David. In verse 20, he said, I found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Now, I know that God knows what he's talking about. But as I read the history of David, David screwed up royal. The enemy did afflict him. The enemy did beat him up. But God said, even though your children would go astray, I'll correct them, I'll take care of them, but they'll always be blessed and I'll always be with the house of David. That promise is carried over to you and I. No matter how many times we've made mistakes and fallen and done stupid, foolish things, God is always with us and intends for us victory. Come on, somebody. It's amazing. It's amazing to see dumb people like you and me in victory. 1 Corinthians says, not many noble, not many wise, not many really with, you know, too much IQ have been chosen by God. We do things the stupid way. It takes us years to do what can only take minutes. Come on, somebody. We live in a generation like that. I don't know what it was like before I started to drive, but ever since I started to drive, anything from here going east is always being worked on. Roads. They're just being worked on. Just being worked on. They're just being worked on. They pave it, they dig it up, they pave it, they dig it up, they pave it. And I said, man, the people that made the original roads knew what they were doing. They were road builders. I don't know if they do it so they can, you know, keep themselves employed or what. You know, how many times you got to do a lane already? You've been doing this lane for as long. In 95 over Interstate 95 over on the East Coast, if you go south from Washington to Florida, it's always under construction. It is always under construction. There's always backed up roads. There's always people. And there's like 10 people leaning on a shovel. Folks, we've got to get the work done in the church. We've got to be like the people of old. We've got to be like our forefathers. We've got to be like the apostles. We've got to go forward with the kingdom and establish it once and for all. If God keeps rescuing us from darkness and breaking chains, we'll never get the lost saved. God, rescue me again. Okay, but come rescue me again. I love you. I'll rescue you. But I fashioned and formed you to be a light and to be a deliverer for the generation. I'll gladly set you free. I'll gladly make you free. But can you stay free just for a little while and get some work done? That's what he was saying to Israel. Every time Israel got it right, some king or some, you know, some prophet or judge would screw things up. And they'd go back under bondage. And God said, how long will I put up with you? Deliver them and establish there's peace and all kinds of. And then, you know, 40 years later, they find themselves in bondage. Does that sound familiar? Isaiah 59, verse 15 says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. God has seen the human race screw up all the time, and he says, you know what? I'm just going to take care of it. I'll send my son. He'll die for you. He'll die for your sins. He'll die for your bondages. He'll die for your sicknesses. He'll die for your diseases. All you have to do is believe in him, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. And not only will you be saved, you'll be free. I've taken care of it. I'm tired of waiting on you because it ain't going to get done. You disappoint me, son. So he sent Jesus Christ so that there be no more disappointment from God or discouragement. The Truth Project is being presented because the church is not only allowed, but has entered into a secular worldview and has defiled the holy things of God. We continually are asking God to do what has already been done. And He's glad to set us free. He's glad to make us free. He's glad to give us power. He's glad to give us anointing. He's glad to baptize us in the Holy Ghost again and again and again, even though all we need to do is ask once. How many know God doesn't have a shortage of baptisms in the Holy Spirit? God doesn't have a shortage of salvation. Must be running late. People are leaving. He brings salvation. He brings righteousness. We're called to be holy. True prosperity in the body of Christ today is an abundance of anointing and meet and complete the works of the Lord as we yield to Him. Do we have wisdom? And supply. Do we have power? It's supply. Do we have anointing? An abundance of anointing. There's more anointing in you than you could ever realize. You say, my life is out of order. Take authority. The anointing in you will take authority over that in you that's affecting your life. The enemy will attack every time, and every time he was defeated. Let me say that again. Please hear me this morning. The enemy will attack every time, and every time he was defeated. When you go into the battlefield with the enemy, you remind him that he was defeated at the cross. You just took his legs out from underneath him. We are fighting battles that have eternal effects. The souls of men are weighed in the scales. The enemy was defeated, therefore he will be defeated. The key to overcoming is to yield to the overcomer. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to work through these vessels. He's been doing it a long time. Turn to somebody and say, God's been doing this a long time. He is not perplexed because we happen to be a really messed up generation. We are really messed up. I mean, I can't believe the church. I was looking for a logo for the militant church. I looked up the militant church, and it's the church militant is a phrase that was taken by the Catholic Church. It's a whole group of people call themselves the church militant. How many know the Catholic Church is in shambles right now? Saying they should call themselves something else. Just disband the whole Catholicism and just be Christians. I'm not saying that they're not Christians in the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church has been just a bastion of hiding place for perverts and subverted people. Come on, somebody. It just has been. And we're not coming against the people in it. It's the institution itself that's created doctrines that can't possibly be lived up to. Come on, someone. We strain and kick against the attack or the blockade when we are called to yield to Christ. That's all. We yield to Christ and He takes care of it. When the enemy attacks, he meets the standard of the Lord. This standard, Isaiah 59:19, that's where I want to end up this morning. How in the world is all this victory met? It's the standard. It's standard. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. Verse 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The key to overcoming then is to yield to Him. He's raised up a standard. What is it? Is it good works? Is it good standing? Is it righteous living? Is it anointing? Is it power? Is it education? What is the standard that He's lifted? The standard is Jesus Christ. The standard above us is Jesus Christ. He's the victor. He won it all for all of us. Come on, somebody. It's not good works. It's not righteousness. It's not anointing. It's not how we can lay hands on people. It's not none of that. We rest in and have our victory in the standard who is Jesus Christ. The word for standard in the Hebrew is the word rus, R-U-S, and it usually means to flee, unfortunately. But in this passage, it's different. In this case, it speaks of God running toward the enemy, not away from him. God will raise up a standard against him. In other words, God furiously and with energy, all his might counteracts the enemy and defeats him every time. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will, God raises a standard. God goes after him. Our Father is faithful in winning the battle for us. He's running toward the battle. He's running ahead of us, making sure that the victory is ours. Now, if we choose to go another way, if we choose to think that we're defeated, we have the torch and the thing, and we can create our chains, and we can be in complaining, saying, God, we lost. Please deliver us. But God says, I've got the victory for you. God gets no glory for us being taken captive. But in this passage, and I want to talk about it just for a minute. In this passage, the root of the meaning doubles the last letter, changing it to Russ, R-U-S-S instead of R-U-S. This dramatically changes the verbal action of the word. And if our brother Danny were here this morning, he would be able to say, Ruha. This word changes to Ruha. God speaks and energetically, furiously, with all his might, attacks the enemy for us. He's already defeated in God's eyes, but for us. 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about this. He said in verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. But when he comes in like a flood, and he is, he's defeated. That's a good sign. Don't get discouraged. Don't get perplexed. Don't get lack of faith. When he comes in like a flood, God is getting ready to attack. The world awaits us. One last verse, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. When you're there, smile at me. I want you to get there in your Bibles. Not fair to look up on the screen. Get there in your Bible. Zechariah chapter 4, so you know where it's at. Zechariah chapter 4. I only see three people smiling. Are you there? Don't be smiling like this either. I forgot to brush my teeth. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Oh, my Jesus. If you read in Isaiah chapter 11 about the seven spirits of God, you understand who is looking out from Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel worked 20 years on the temple with no completion in sight. He only had the foundation built. He was under attack and all kinds of things. And God spoke to him and said, you started this thing and I'm going to have you finish it. We in this generation, many of us have served the Lord for a long time, and we've had all kinds of promises that this and that and the other is going to happen, and we haven't seen it. Hang tight. It's coming.
Yes, it is.
Hang tight. It's coming. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Yeah. Might speaks of collective strength, a group or an army with its resources. God's not going to win that way. Power speaks of the individual and their strength. God's not going to win that way. How's he going to do it?
By his spirit.
By his spirit. Holy Spirit is on display in those that walk in consistent victory. All eyes on Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. He will use anybody that's willing to be used, but He's not going to share His glory with anyone. Somebody was talking about, I think with Thomas here, he was talking about somebody learning a language that they had never learned. And when I was in India, I had a guy interpret for me that had English by the laying on of hands. He was uneducated. He only went to, like, in our educational system, he only went to the sixth grade. And he was in a meeting, and there was somebody from England there, and they laid hands on him, and he received the English language. He could speak it, understand it. One of the best interpreters you ever want to meet. Holy Spirit on display in an uneducated man. From before time, His role in these end times has been set in the heavenlies. The plan is about to be rolled out in this box of time. By My Spirit, Ruah. God is shouting from heaven. God has had enough. It's one thing for us to have enough. It's one thing for us to get discouraged. It's one thing for us to get perplexed. It's quite another when God said, that's enough. That's enough of this nonsense. I'm going to stand. I'm going to declare the end from the beginning. From before time, He planned this. Spurgeon, the great Spurgeon, said this. You all get plans and say, now, if the church were altered a little bit, it would go better. You think if there were different ministers or a different church order or something different, then all would be now well. No, my dear friends, it is not there the mistake lies. It is that we want more of the Spirit. The Spirit will do what we could never accomplish and never will. We keep paving the road and it keeps getting screwed up. We keep paving the road. We put up cones. We say it's going to get better. We write books. We have conferences. Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit. Come and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Even if you've been baptized 30 years ago, come. It's a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. Get the road pavers out. Get them. We're all standing around with shovels, smiling. Look at us. It's been that way for years and years and years. And God said, I've had enough. We're going to pave this puppy and it's going to be paved. Come on, somebody. He will remove, just to recap, three steps. If you're not taking notes, the reason why I don't go back and look at my notes a lot. But if I write, I've got something involved, my eyes, my fingers. I remember. So it's good just to write. Even if you're writing on something, you're going to throw away when you leave. Or find 6 months from now. What the heck is that? Oh. So just to recap, number one, He will remove the burden and the yoke from off your shoulders. Believe Him today to remove the yoke. If you're in bondage in any way, ask the Lord to deliver you. He's already delivered you, but He'll do it again. And again, and again, and again. Cones repave. The enemy will attack, number two, but God will furiously move offensively and utterly destroy the enemy for you. Turn to somebody and say, the enemy is defeated. And lastly, the victory comes through the Spirit of God whom we walk in. All He wants us to do is show up. Father, I pray today, God, that we would take the reality that You've told us from the time we started worship this morning. God, that You have in planned for us the victory, even the youngest amongst us. Lord, You've planned us victory. And Father, that we would walk in that victory and we walk in the authority that You've given us. God, may we be examples for those in this generation of people that have succeeded and walk in that success. God, we pray for that level of commitment to come up in this church so that you might add to what your purposes are in our church, not only numerically, but responsibly, God, that our responses, our responsibilities might be added, that you'd give us and bless us with souls. We thank you for that, God. I pray for each and every one that their eyes and their ears might be open to you. Father, may we take and walk in the challenges that you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.